he's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday, March 15th live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And it could be that the correction is finally here. And it seems to be picking up a bit of steam. I think maybe the PPI, the hot PPI report might have stoked the fire a little bit here this week. We've got the Dow down 141 right now to 38,750. The NASDAQ is down 183 right now. That's 1.14%. It's at 15,944. The S&P 500 is down 40 right now to 5,110. Believe it or not, the small caps are up. There must be a couple of stocks in there. The Russell 2000 is up 5 points. Crude oil is down 55 cents to $80.71. It has cracked that $80 level, and, of course, that's inflationary. Gold's down $2.60. Silver's up 39 cents. Silver's on a bit of a run here. The 10-year, which has not had a good week, it's up 2 points here, 4.32. And Bitcoin's getting hit hard, down 3,600 today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only firm. Wherever you're listening to us within the United States, we have clients all over the country. Yeah, I've been talking a lot recently about the forward P.E. ratio of the S&P 500 sitting above 21. It's at 21.3 right now. The 10-year average is 17.5. I've been warning that eventually we will get some kind of a correction. That's a sure thing in the market. And, you know, the other point I'd like to make here is at any given time, and we go through this every week in the newsletter, every week. First, I have a little lesson on technical analysis that makes it very, very simple. At any given time, a stock or an index is either in a number one sideways trend, okay? And a sideways trend usually comes after a downtrend. You finally get that stock leveling off. Number two is an uptrend, which we've had really since the beginning of the year in the NASDAQ. Number three is a sideways trend after an uptrend. It's a mellowing out. It's a flattening of an uptrend. And from there, it can break out again and start a new uptrend, which we've had many times here. That's kind of a stair step scenario there. But with the Dow, the NASDAQ, and the S&P now all kind of in those number three sideways trends, the question is, will they roll over to the downside and begin a number four correction trend? Or will they break out again to the upside? And, you know, that's all I can say. And I said this in my little message that I sent out to all my clients and subscribers this morning. You're facing a mighty headwind. And for it to break out to the upside from here, you're facing a headwind of valuation. Valuation is that headwind with a forward PE of 21.13. And I'd also say you're facing a bit of a inflation headwind still, which will probably cause the Fed to wait until closer to the election to start cutting interest rates. So that's where we are right now. To bring the S&P 500 to a more reasonable forward PE ratio, you'd have to see an 8 to 10% correction. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that's what it would take to bring that forward PE ratio more into line. And we've seen cracks in a lot of the leading stocks. We finally saw a crack in NVIDIA a week ago. And it seems like that's another headwind, Barry, because without NVIDIA, you know, it's been lifting a lot of other stocks with it.
Yeah, you take the when you take the narrative away, right? Because you know, at times, you know, a lot of times the market's a fashion show, right?
Yep.
And there's a story, and the story, right, for the last 12 months or longer has been AI, and of course that that poster child's NVIDIA, and as you know, as that narrative fades, or at least that story, right, gets gets more gets older and matures, then you've got to there'd be a new narrative with
and
the
there's
market, so.
Yeah, there's a lot of big profits sitting in NVIDIA. A lot of people have tripled or quadrupled their money in NVIDIA. Now, the long-term outlook for NVIDIA, you can see that on my Best Stocks Now app and look at the 5-year target price, but
and
you
we're
know,
constructive on that. Yeah,
yes,
obviously,
and,
but what's the near term?
Along the way, these stocks get overbought. You know, like you say, the fashion show, it's the most popular garment on the rack right now, and you can't get enough of it, and it's selling out like crazy, and everybody's wearing it. And, you know, at some point in time, you see a crack, and that happened last Friday. And, you know, probably the closest, the stock that's most closely associated with NVIDIA would be AMD, and then others, Broadcom, et cetera. And Broadcom cracked a little bit last Friday when they came in with weaker than expected guidance. So yesterday, PPI comes in a little hotter than expected. The 10-year was up another 10 basis points. We began the week in the low fours, and now we're at 4.30, so that's going to contract this already bloated multiple that we have, or P.E. ratio. And as I said at the beginning of the show, we're overdue for a correction, and maybe we're finally there starting to pick up a little bit of steam. Oil.
Bewitching. We also have triple witching. Today,
yes.
Which the old, basically the term where we have stock option contracts, index option contracts, and future contracts maturing today, which just creates additional volatility.
Volatility and the volume's going to spike in the market today. Oil stocks broke out yesterday to the upside. They're about the only sector right now that is breaking out to the upside, other than what I consider to be a very viable asset class, and that is the inverse funds. They are starting to break out, especially PSQ, which is inverse the NASDAQ, DOG, which is inverse the Dow, and SH, which is inverse the S&P 500, which you can use as hedges. Cash is also a hedge against, obviously, a correction in the market. Small caps and Bitcoin really got hit yesterday, and Bitcoin's getting hit again today. That's kind of a risk-on indicator, and right now you're seeing a little bit of a risk-off move in the market. Let's see. Okay, so we had the yield surge yesterday after a hot PPI, and I saw quite a bit of damage done to the bond market yesterday. Of course, it's very interest rate sensitive. Interest rates go up, the value of bonds go down. We've had some economic reports this past week. We didn't really see anything yet so far that I would say was really extraordinary, other than the CPI report, which came in about in line, but the PPI was a little hotter. Today, the Empire State Manufacturing Index down 20.9. You know what? There's got to be some people that are getting to be hesitant about doing business in the state of New York. It's not exactly a friendly climate, much like California. The Empire State Manufacturing Index down 20.9. That's a pretty big drop. Okay, next week.
That's about the least inflationary report we had all week.
That's right. Next week, we're going to have Woodstock. No, it's AI Woodstock, and that begins Monday, And there's a lot of folks out there hoping that this will get these AI stocks going again, which right now are stalled out and even in correction mode. Goldman Sachs spotlights the next phase of the AI trade. So let's take a look at some of the stocks that they mentioned as AI is now beginning to run its course. It's off to the races, and there will be several phases of artificial intelligence coming over the next several years. I've witnessed the PC revolution. I've witnessed the telephone revolution, the personal telephone, and several others along the way. And now this may be the new one. Oh, of course, the EV, electric car revolution. Now we're in an artificial intelligence revolution. We'll talk about some of the players and some of the phases of it when we come back. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, this looks like a pretty reasonable projection by Goldman Sachs of the next phases of the AI trade. It began with NVIDIA. There's no question about it. It was NVIDIA's chip and the speed thereof that has enabled this AI artificial intelligence. The stock is up 522% since the beginning of 2023. And believe it or not, here's an amazing fact, Barry. The forward P.E. ratio of NVIDIA has remained the same during that period of time. So, you know, there's just a little mathematical dynamic involved there. As those earnings explode to the upside, and yes, the stock goes along also, you know, you divide the stock by the earnings estimates. So let's just take a look at the current forward PE right now of NVIDIA, which, by the way, is up right now. So is AMD a little bit. The forward PE for NVIDIA right now is 37. Okay, you could find a lot of stocks out there, Barry, that are trading at 37 times forward earnings that don't have the kind of growth, right? That
when you can look
NVIDIA
at that
has.
Stock, yeah, you could look at that stock historically, and it's traded, you know, much higher actually of a forward PE ratio than that 39 number. So
you
know, it's been in the. I mean, I remember times where you know it was always multiple was always higher than AMD, so we would look at them both, and you would get you know. Remember, times would be in the 60s for an extended period of time with NVIDIA.
So, I mean, 37 forward P.E. ratio. Let's not forget the S&P right now is 21.1, and the NASDAQ's probably somewhere in the 30 area. So that's why we still have a pretty decent upside potential with our five-year target price on NVIDIA. So anyways, that's where the revolution really began. Then I would say the second shoe to drop, although Goldman Sachs, they pass over this, was ChatGPT by Microsoft. Now AI became available to the individual on their personal computer by being able to query, you know, what is it? Yeah, the ChatGPT. And ask questions, you can write songs, you can do all kinds of things. And, of course, Google has theirs. They took Google Gemini off the market.
You had Bard and then Gemini. And, I don't know if they've even turned them back on or at least turned them back on. Yeah.
No, but you know, AI became available to the common folk out there like us. Instead of these, you know, just companies that are using it. Now, the other phase here would be the infrastructure. Okay, you got a chip, but that chip needs infrastructure around it in order for it to be distributed. And along comes other companies. They don't mention several of the ones that I think are involved in this, which would be Supermicro Computer, SMCI. maybe it's in the full story, but it's not in the highlights of the story here, which provides the servers. Dell would be another one providing the servers that can handle these high-speed chips. And then you've got periphery stocks like Arista Networks, ANET, which has been one of our big winners. Broadcom is there in the infrastructure ecosystem. Amazon, I suppose, with their let's not forget, Amazon is AWS. They're
right. They're certainly on the server side, right? They're powering or they're running those models through their data warehouses, and also that business, right, would likely benefit from AI, right, in terms of logistics could improve their margins, some other things depending on if they get it right or not.
Yeah, so that's why you're seeing Amazon breaking out to new all-time highs. It's not just the goods that they're delivering to your doorstep. They're a major player in the cloud with their AWS. And that's for this reason, one of the reasons why Bezos has now pulled away. And he caught up with Musk, passed him, and now he's pulling away. Leaving Musk in his rearview mirror in the dust, as Tesla is the worst performing stock in the S&P 500 so far this year. So Bezos has not only got the beneficiary of artificial intelligence with the goods he sells, but also with the cloud capabilities. And then some others that they mention, what companies are going to benefit. They list a few here: Intuit, ServiceNow, MongoDB, which is MDB. And then you've got companies that will get productivity gains. They don't list any, but I mean, I'm sure you can get into the car industry, any manufacturing. You can get into the aerospace industry. All kinds of different companies that will use AI and benefit from it. Now, there are several AI-focused ETFs right now. Now, me personally, I would rather go out and own the very best stocks within these ETFs. But if you're looking for who some of these players are, you can look inside these ETFs. You'll probably find Cisco, you'll probably find Microsoft, you'll probably find IBM, and a lot of stocks that, really Intel that aren't. Let's not forget the companies that enable the chips to be made, Lam Research, ASM Lithography, et cetera. So now if you want broad exposure, you've got Global Artificial Intelligence Technology, that's AIQ. You've got BOTS, which has been around for a while, B-O-T-Z. In fact, somebody asked me during the workshop I did for Arizona Investment Club Monday, what are some ETFs? You've got DTEC, which is Disruptive Technologies, Goldman Sachs, Innovative Equity, G-I-N-N. You've got iShares Robotics and Artificial Intelligence, IRBO. You've got ROBT, TECB, XT, THNQ, and CHAT, C-H-A-T. And one other one that I know of is WISE, which just came out. They sent me an email notifying me of their new ETF. And then there's another one called... I can't think of it right now, but that ought to be enough there to get you some exposure. Now, personally, me, I'd rather pick the best stocks out of those sectors. Now, this story, this comes out of Minneapolis, where we're headed sometime in the springtime or late spring,
early
probably.
Summer, yeah.
Uber and Lyft are leaving Minneapolis. Well, I always take an Uber to the hotel there at the Mall of Americas from the airport because of the minimum wage rule passed by the city council there. So that's not good, having those two companies exit Minneapolis. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. On a down day in the market, we've got the Dow down 116, NASDAQ down 124. We had a little hotter than expected PPI report. You've had interest rates go up this week to 4.30. And that's compressed that multiple a little bit, which needs more compressing.
We've got the Fed meeting coming up on Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll get the Fed decision. Most importantly, we'll get this is where they redo the it's one of the meetings where they give a new dot plot. So
yeah,
a lot of folks were pricing in, and I think the Fed was too, 3 rate cuts in 2024. You know, that number is likely closer, would be my guess, to closer to 2 now, depending on how those dots fall. But we'll get an update on that. So that'll be probably the biggest thing that is being watched next week, short of the press conference. But likely no change in rates, but the dot plot will be the important.
That will move the markets for sure. And if it does go from an expectation of 3 down to 2, that will be negative for the market. El Salvador has created a Bitcoin piggy bank. Now, they're the first country in the world to establish Bitcoin as legal tender, and they've made some money. I mean, the president of El Salvador, Bukele, has made some money on his investing.
Yeah, it took a little while, but then once it ramped up, it's certainly gone there.
So he's going to create a cold wallet, which will be stored in a physical vault within the country. I guess you can break in and somehow steal it.
Is it on just a UBS stick or like what's it?
Their money, their holdings in the cold wallet are currently at $406 million. Hey, maybe we can wipe out our debt in America by investing heavily in Bitcoin. Well, Bitcoin's sliding today. You've got it this morning. It was down 5,000. Now it's down 4,142.
And it got as high as 73,000 range. So
yeah,
where are we trading that now? I was looking
60
at it.
About 68,000.
Yeah.
So okay, we'll see. I mean, I can't predict it. There's no way.
Yeah, we just watch.
I just watch it.
But it is a gauge of, I do think it's a gauge of, of fervor in the market, right? It's kind of like we used to look at, biotechs a lot in terms of, that riskiest piece of the market where people, when risk appetites were high, right, then those things would do well. And so I do think it's a pretty good gauge of just risk appetites in general. And it isn't, as interest rates go up, right, Bitcoin is affected, and in the other direction, just like a lot of risk assets. So.
Yes, and okay, and then another a bellwether indicator for us is oil, because oil was a big part of the inflation this past week, especially in the PPI. So, those oil prices are creeping up. You had a pretty big breakout in oil to the upside yesterday, and the oil stocks. Several of them broke out to the upside, such as Devon Energy, EOG, IMO, which is an Imperial Oil, and Suncor, the Canadian oil companies. Big breakouts there. And so we got to watch that price of oil, because that's definitely a big, big piece. Energy is a big piece of the inflation puzzle. Well, this was inevitable. United is now looking to Airbus to fulfill the orders that they had with Boeing. That's a terrible situation. And, you know, I'll tell you another thing I would say. A lot of these Boeing stories aren't really anything having to do with Boeing. The plane that landed at L.A. Was because of a blown tire, all right? That's
right.
Not Boeing's fault. But it's headline, any kind of headline that involves an interruption. And this one where you had the big plunge, it seems like the stewardess hit the chair by accident when she was delivering the food to the co-pilot. It pushed him into the instrument panel, which turned the instrument panel off.
God.
The plane is plunging, kind of like that movie Airplane. Whoops. And then the guy plugs it back in, you know, and it comes back on, and the plunge stops. So, you know, that's not Boeing's fault. But you're just in a phase right now where anything, any kind of mishap in the air. But I will say this, you don't hear of any mishaps on Airbus planes.
No, and that's that headline risk. I mean, you can't, you know, it's a narrative, it's the narrative, right, for Boeing, and it's not a great narrative.
No.
So until they do something to change it, and it's hard to, I mean, that's a hard, you know, building confidence back up. I mean, we still all jump on planes. I don't know, you know, how much it's necessarily affecting air travel, but it's affecting their stock price.
Well, I know my wife checks whether she's flying on an Airbus or a
right. Home. Yeah. Well.
All right. Now, another possible indication for Lilly's GLP-1 drug and Novo Nordisk would be sleep apnea. And there is a study that will be done shortly for Eli Lilly's drug for the treatment of sleep apnea. Now, obviously, it's losing the weight that helps with the sleep apnea. And I can't, I don't know that there's enough people that have lost a lot of weight who had sleep apnea to really judge, but it just seems like a logical conclusion that if you lose 50 pounds, 60 pounds, it's also going to help your sleep apnea. Now, and Novo Nordisk, they got an indication, which is going to help with the insurance companies for heart disease. Okay, so losing the weight, obviously, I mean, that's just logic, is also going to, unless you've got some kind of hereditary heart disease. But for the most part, it puts less work on the heart to lose the weight. So we'll see if whether or not it has a positive effect on sleep apnea. Okay, let's see. The earnings report of the day would be Adobe. Now, I did not like the way Adobe was trading. It just looked like a stock to me that was getting ready to give up the ghost. We sold it 2 weeks ago. We had it in our ultra growth portfolio, and I didn't like the weakness in the stock, much like I didn't like the weakness in the stock in Tesla. This is where those charts come in handy. We sold Tesla in early January, mid January, somewhere in there, early January, at 226. Tesla's down 63 points from that point in time. And we sold Adobe at 545. Adobe's down $77 per share today to 493. So that's 50 points lower from where we sold it. And, you know, like I say, there's not one single magic bullet to tell you when to sell a stock or when to buy a stock. But when you look at the valuation is key, very critical. I see an upgrade on Oracle today, and I looked at the valuation, and I said, I don't like the valuation on it. So I would not be a buyer. We sold our Oracle before they had their big report, and now it's starting to drop again. I don't like it at this level. But Adobe, number one, valuation is a factor. And Adobe was in like that 65% upside area, which is kind of a hold area. Number two is performance and relative strength. Okay, and it was losing out. It was weakening in relative strength. Other stocks were becoming stronger while Adobe was becoming weaker. And number three, the visible chart. You look at the visible chart, and you can see that Adobe topped out in the 638, 640 area, and then has been weakening ever since. And now you've got a stock that is down today, getting hit. It's the disaster du jour, down $78 per share or 13.7%. So those charts come in very, very handy, not only on individual stocks, but on indexes. And this morning I sent out two charts to our subscribers. I sent out a chart on the S&P 500 with my latest take on it, analysis of it. And I sent out a chart of the NASDAQ with my latest analysis. And that's one thing I do in the newsletter every Saturday. I do my analysis of almost all the major asset classes, including the inverse funds. That's very critical, along with valuations and performance slash momentum. We'll be sending out the newsletter again tomorrow to get on that list. 2 free weeks of the full Monty at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. You got to go. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, let's take a look underneath the hood of the market today and see what is driving it. Obviously, the Bitcoin-related stocks. But, you know, Bitcoin could end up for the day. It's completely 100% unpredictable in my book. Very difficult. Okay, so let's begin.
The funny thing about Bitcoin is, like, I think it's unpredictable for a lot of folks because I'm, you know, one of the trending, you know, top trending, you know, notes on Seeking Alpha right now was Bitcoin extends slide a day after another inflation report. And, of course, the argument's been made for Bitcoin before, right, that it would might be a good inflation hedge. So it's funny that, you know, inflation went up, and so they're saying, yeah, oh, that's why Bitcoin went down. Well, it's like, you know, I've heard just the opposite.
So much for that theory.
You know, so I don't know.
I don't know what theory. The only theory that makes sense to me is the supply-demand theory.
Exactly. Yeah.
Especially with all of these ETFs needing to buy Bitcoin. I can't think of any other theory of how you put a valuation on it.
And a lot of the Bitcoin, you know, is you know, a lot of Bitcoin is actually not even traded. You've got people who have been, you know, kind of holding Bitcoin for years and years and years, right, large amounts, and so the actual circulation, right, is even thinner than it appears.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's certainly probably the only way to really value it is that supply and demand function, but, you know, how to quantify it is also
yeah,
I haven't seen anybody
right? really come up with
yeah.
a way of quantifying. Well, the market
right.
is coming back somewhat here. The Dow's
is
only down 62 right now. The NASDAQ's only down 87 right now. It was down more than that. Now, as I look at the NASDAQ today, the only stocks that are up, well, AMD, for whatever reason, is bucking the trend today. AMD is up 2.9%, and Micron is up 2.5%. Somebody called Micron their best idea today. On
CNBC. I forget who it was. I saw a note about it because it was one of the only things that were positive.
Yeah. And NVIDIA has now gone positive. It's up 1.6%. The biggest winner in the NASDAQ, I got to check and see if it's still in the NASDAQ, Vodafone. I guess it is. It's up 5.3%, but it's been a very dull stock. The NASDAQ is really down because of one stock. And that's Adobe. Adobe is down a whopping, let's see, 13. It was 13% last time I looked. Now it's 13.6%. And it is a pretty big component of the NASDAQ. And Ulta Beauty, which has been one of the bricks and mortar survivors, And Ulta Beauty was hitting a new all-time high on Wednesday. Today it's down 7%, but it's coming back off of its low. It's a popular stock. It's a company that has, you know, survived. It's popular, a place to go. They continue to grow their earnings, and somehow they have not, one of the companies that hasn't been wiped out by Amazon. The forward PE is 21 on Ulta Beauty, about a market multiple, but it's down 5.3% today. Now, as we look at the S&P 500, a broader index which includes oils and financials, let's see what's taking place at the S&P 500 because it gives us a good idea. Valero Energy up 3.8% today. Nucor, which is hitting a new all-time high. I talked to one of my buddies at church on Sunday. He works for Nucor. He said, I don't know if you noticed, but Nucor's hitting a new all-time high. And it is. Okay, the other oil stock is pretty much oil stocks today. You've got HF Sinclair, which is the dinosaur. It's up 3.5. They're a refinery. Marathon Petroleum, another refinery, is up 3.2%. Lennar, home builder, up 3%. But I've noticed those home builders have cooled off quite a bit. On the downside, again, it's Adobe, down 13.7. Ulta, down 5.2. Abbott Labs is down 4.6. I don't know what the news is there, but that's a pretty big drop for that stock. And then ServiceNow, which I have to mention, because I said the first group to crack in the tech sector was definitely the software stocks. And it began with Palo Alto Networks, and then it spread out from there. The software stock soft sector is extremely weak right now. It's usually the first sector in the market to go. And it trades usually at very rich multiples, those stocks. ServiceNow has a higher PE, forward PE ratio than does Nvidia. It's 139 on ServiceNow. So the software stocks are starting to roll over. ServiceNow is in a severe sideways trend. I sold a chunk of our ServiceNow about a month ago, 2-3 weeks ago, and I may be looking to unload the rest here as that sector continues to in a number three sideways trend, and many of those stocks are now rolling over and breaking down, such as Adobe. All right, and then on the upside in the S&P 500, well, we already said the oil stocks. Okay, well, I'll be writing the newsletter today, tomorrow. I get it out as soon as I'm satisfied with it and ready to send it tomorrow at some point in time, tomorrow afternoon. You can get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us, if you've got stocks you're worried about, they're starting to crack and nobody's calling you or you're managing them yourself and you're like a deer in the headlights right now, the market is definitely changing. It's not like go, go, up, up, up every day anymore. Just buy AI and forget about it. No, 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 no. You can't do that. You have to manage along the way. Especially in a very expensive market right now, you've got a very high multiple on the S&P 500. There's ways to mitigate against that, to protect yourself. Should we get a 10 or 12% correction here, give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or start with the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.